The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is great. This is next level. This is, you know, all I need is a toilet and my wife can kick me out of the house. And even then, you know, you just walk down to the ravine and do your business there.
Wow, but, that's great. Don't drink out of that ravine.
Yeah. Don't drink out of any ravine.
Have you ever drinking out of a ravine? Have you ever done it? Have you ever been dumb enough to be drinking out of a ravine? Have you ever drank out of a ravine? I have.
I have not.
I didn't get drunk, but I drank some water out of a ravine in New Jersey once. I did. I don't know. I'm here. I don't know. It could have affected me. It's certainly.
Yeah, in New Jersey?
In New Jersey. Oh, the Garden State,
you gotta worry about. You got to worry about far more than anything I might put into the ravine if you're downstream in New Jersey. When I was delivering newspapers when I was a kid,
yeah,
there was a house that had a spring, and it had this great stone setup where they had a cup and the water was constantly coming into it. And it was the best water I've ever had in my life. It was probably full of all sorts of toxic chemicals and who knows what else, but it was a natural spring and it was great. And so every time I'd deliver the newspaper, I'd have a little drink out of the extremely unsanitary metal cup that was on a chain, but it was great. It was awesome spring water. So that's the closest I've come to drinking out of a ravine.
Would you rather drink out of a ravine in New Jersey or eat a hamburger off the LaGuardia Airport floor? What would you choose if you had to choose one or the other?
I'd probably go with the hamburger off the floor because I'd find a spot that didn't touch the ground.
you try to find.
Like I'd stay away from the
eat away
if
from
I have
the
to
spot.
Finish the burger. It depends on where the ravine is. I really would want to consider what's upstream of the ravine. So, but
it's New Jersey. There's a bunch of like testosterone and like some HGH and some steroids and some hair gel. That's what's in the stream in New Jersey.
Yeah. All right.
Let alone Jimmy Hoffa might be up there too. You never know. It's the gift that
Jimmy
keeps
Hoffa's
on giving.
Jimmy Hoffa's next to Skycam. He's next to Skycam.
He's next to Skycam. You mean the one that died in the Bills Jets game last week?
Yeah. They buried it. They buried it next to Jimmy Hoffa.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we talked about that on Monday when you were asleep. I made the joke on Twitter of. When they took that broken Skycam down, they can bury it next to Jimmy Hoffa. And I had a bunch of people correct me that that's not the stadium anymore. As if I'm serious that they're going to dig a hole.
He's in the parking lot now, Mike.
Come on, Mike. Get it right. You can't be a journalist unless you properly say where Jimmy Hoff was buried. These guys know it was the 20-yard line of the old Giants Stadium. Yeah. See? You might have been getting a guy from Jersey who might have actually known. So he might have been like, no, I was part of that construction group then. He's in the old place. He's in the old stadium. Maybe they're really telling you something there.
There was that Scorsese movie that was like 2 hours too long from a couple of years ago that I was very excited to see and was a major disappointment. The Irishman.
Yeah, it didn't look good.
And the book on which that movie was based tells a different story that basically it was the body was burned of Jimmy Hoffa. But regardless, Skycam is not being buried in MetLife Stadium, in the parking lot, or anywhere. You just throw it in the garbage. I don't want to throw all of last week in the garbage. I'm happy that I beat you straight up. It has been so close every week. The past couple of weeks, we've disagreed on three games, and they've all come down to some sort of a fluky, weird, what is that?
Oh, man.
What is that?
It's a drawing of me. Well, first finish. I beat you in two out of the three categories last week, so eat that crap. Let's make sure.
Whoop-dee-doo. You got me by a half point in the Vikings-Commanders game. That's how you went 2-1 in the best bets.
Yeah, eat it. I know, but either way, that helped you win this
drawing.
That's actually from my high school days right there. That's the old, the Bergen Record Athlete of the Week award I got in high school game playing Old Tappan High School. I had a good day that day, Mike. You know, it was like 16 for 18 for like the mid-200s and, you know, threw three or four touchdown passes. I think I ran one in that day, too. So if you won Athlete of the Week, it was a really big deal in North Jersey. The Bergen Record's the biggest local newspaper up there, along with the Star Ledger. And you go into their building and they draw a picture of you. And then when it comes Tuesday of that week, they release this for the Athlete of the Week. So it was cool. And I don't know where these guys found that, but thank you.
That picture has some very real aha take on me vibes to it. I'd like to see that turn into a cartoon. All right. Well done. And you beat me against the spread by one and you beat me straight up. Or no, best bets by one. I got you straight up by one. And just to be clear, for the season, I am now up by 10 games. With 9 weeks left, straight up.
Plenty of time.
I'm up by eight games against the spread. And I'm up by a half game, clinging to a half game lead in best bets. Despite my horrendous start to the season in best bets, I am ahead by a half game. This week, Patriots, Jets, Ravens, Bengals are off. There are 14 games, all odds provided by BetMGM. Let's get to it. We spent some time talking today about that scintillating Thursday night matchup. Al Michaels will be very pleased to be calling this one the Falcons at the Carolina Panthers, just 11 days after they got together in a barn burner in Atlanta. It doesn't have that same vibe tonight, but who knows? Panthers breaking out the black helmets. Maybe there'll be some magic in there that helps the Panthers dig deep. 42.5 is the over-under. The Falcons are 2.5-point favorites on the road in the rematch, and I have picked Atlanta to lose every week this season, Chris.
Wow. It's not horrible. But I got some teams like that too. I'm going to go with the Falcons tonight. I am. I don't know. Last week kind of felt like this for me, just from the pasta and meatballs outside looking in 10,000 feet above whatever view. I could see last week kind of being the, all right, we're officially kind of a beaten puppy from the Carolina Panthers, or a beaten, you know, kitty cat, I should say, if we want to keep it within the right animal family here, okay? They lost their roar. Now it's just a little meow. That was a butt whooping they got last week. And I do worry about that. And the way their run defense looked, you know, Atlanta, again, we know can run the football. I don't expect it to be a shootout like we saw the first game where fourth quarter, it kind of just went all over the place. But I just have more faith in Atlanta as a football team. And again, I'm still not, you know, thrilled with the Carolina offense, of course not. What's there to be thrilled about? I have more faith in Atlanta's defense stopping the run and doing that. And, of course, I have faith in Arthur Smith and his ability to run the football on that side with Marcus Mariota. So I'm taking Falcons 24-17 tonight.
By the way, we are opposed in all ways to the imposition of physical violence on kitty cats or any type of feline or any animal.
Definitely.
For that matter.
I'm an animal lover. I don't want that.
Never. We do not condone.
Never. No. When in doubt, onto a human, not an animal.
One of these days, he's going to build an ark, and he's going to put that backyard zoo onto it when the flood comes due to the ever-rising
sea levels.
Ocean levels due to global warming. You're ready to go.
Right. We're hitting all the positive spots.
I like the Falcons in this one, so I'm reversing my trend. You cannot say next week that I've picked the Falcons to lose every single week. I like the Falcons to win this one 27-20. They are in that fight for first place in the NFC South. We considered their schedule earlier today. They have plenty of games that they could win. Not that they should win or will win, but
they're
there
possible.
Are games.
Right.
There aren't an overabundance of, oh shit, they're screwed games.
That's the point.
On
exactly
that schedule.
Right. That's right. We know. Yeah, you said it right. We know they can lose to anybody, but they got a stretch coming up to where you look at it and you go, well, they're not like outclassed here by any of these teams on the schedule to where they might be able to make a big run. I give them a lot of credit. There's some toughness to that football team, and I do think just, you know, ultimately that run game will punish a Carolina defense that lacks big people other than Derrick Brown. You know, that's the one thing I think as I look more like with Matt Rhule and how he built the team a little bit, maybe a too little bit of a college-y speed length type of team to where there's not enough big people to stop some of the last week Joe Mixon up the middle, you know, constantly. And that's an issue for the Carolina defense.
And the Falcons have Cordarrelle Patterson back. So
that's right.
Could be a long night for the Panthers. Again, I got 27-20. Atlanta, you've got 24-17. We both like the road team by 7 to win and to cover. Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern, 6:30 a.m. for the folks who live in Seattle and watch the Seahawks.
Wow,
you better
you're
get
right.
up
I didn't
early
think
on
about
Sunday
that. Yeah.
to see this one. Seattle at Tampa Bay in Munich, Germany. A note from Greg Allman of The Athletic. Even though Seattle and Tampa are in opposite corners of the country, 2,500 miles apart, the distance to Munich is nearly comparable. 4,996 miles from Tampa, 5,283 from Seattle. It's about a half hour difference in the air. Because I was saying earlier this week, maybe Seattle should just go the other way, go across the Pacific. Maybe it's faster, but not much of a difference. Hey, short week as a practical matter when you throw in travel and everything else. Seattle did it a few years ago. A lot of different players since then. The Bucks have done it before in London. Now they're going to Germany. It's going to have a Super Bowl feel to it. I think that helps the Bucks, Chris, because Tom Brady has played in high-stakes games. This is going to be a big deal. 3 million ticket requests. I'd been saying 2 million. It was actually 3 million. Slight difference. The Bucks are 3-point favorites. The Seahawks have the better record. Do you like Tom Brady to show up and continue to build on the momentum that we saw late in the game against the Rams?
Well, wait. First off, I got to comment on. So they're not going to. So it's actually that distance, and they're both flying the same direction. I did not understand that at first. Okay, when reading it.
Yeah.
I thought that they were going to go over the Pacific, and it wasn't that much of a difference.
No.
So just because they're out to the northern part of the globe there, that's why. Okay, I got it. Thank you. Using my big brain. Yep, using my big brain there. But one, you know, I'm excited about this football game. Two, yes, I think this is a somewhat of a favorable or a good matchup for the Bucks. This is a game they can win closely, and I'm going to pick them to win it closely. I am. Well, I haven't picked the Seattle Seahawks to win all year, and I can't start here. I'm not going to start today. I'm not, even though you know I should have picked them. I know that, but Tampa's defense, I think, with them being healthy, I think they're going to give this Seattle offense problems. And then Seattle's defense, even though it's not as bad as in years past, again, I don't know if I look at it to go, oh, it's dominant enough to really give problems to this Tampa offense. I mean, I know nothing's easy for Tampa's offense here. I get that, but I don't think they're going to be overwhelmed by Seattle here. So I think this is a game that's going to come down to the very end, and I'm going to go with the team that I think with the quarterback and the team that's, you know, battle-tested, I'm going to go with Tampa Bay here, 23-20.
I've got 22-17. We always take the conventional score. 22, you gotta get there the hard way. with either mixed extra points or a lot of field goals or a safety or whatever. But what the hell? 22-17. I like the Bucks to win. I like the Bucks to cover. You need a different score.
I'll pick 23.
Think about that.
Yep. I'll go 23-21 Bucks.
Oh, you're taking the Seahawks to cover.
You're splitting
the needle. I got the Bucks to win and the Bucks to cover. I really do believe that atmosphere will benefit the Bucks. And even though the Seahawks played in London, I was looking at their roster. Most of the players weren't on the team in 2018 when they went to London, even though they've learned, you know, the travel schedule, the practice schedule.
Are they there yet?
Same thing from a coaching standpoint. I think they are.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they are.
Because that would be the biggest disadvantage is that clock change for Seattle. I mean, that's some drastic change there.
I never know when they're going because the teams go.
They've all done it differently.
Whether it's Tuesday or Friday.
Right.
That's right. But I think they like to get them there a few days early so they can be involved in some of the pomp and circumstance, especially in Germany. This is the first regular season game in Germany. This is a big deal. And at some point, and maybe I'll be alive for it, maybe I won't, a division in Europe with two teams in London and maybe two teams in Germany, one in Munich and one in a different city, two London teams. That's not out of the question. The commissioner hinted at that earlier this year. So big deal for the NFL to go and play a game in Germany, and big deal for Tom Brady to be there. And I think this is going to be the thing that maybe revitalizes the Buccaneers, but we'll see. 1 o'clock, the big game of the afternoon. The 7-1 Minnesota Vikings visiting the 6-2 Bills. I've been telling my son, who is overly invested in the Vikings this year, over the top, unbelievable, worse than I was when I was his age. I've been telling him, get ready, it's coming, enjoy the wins while you can, the ass whipping is coming in Buffalo. However, I don't think Josh Allen's going to play, Chris, and I'm going to go first on this. You always make me go first on the Vikings games.
Yep.
I'm taking Minnesota to win this because I don't think Josh Allen's going to play. And even though the Case Keenum, Stephon Diggs, bizarro Minneapolis miracle angle is fascinating, I think the Vikings, they have gradually built confidence, and that confidence leads to more confidence, leads to more confidence, and I think they believe they can go in there, especially if they don't have to face Josh Allen, and win that game. I've got Minnesota 24-20, a more conventional score than the one that I picked for Bucks Seahawks. So this is pasta and meatballs, and I'm actually going against what I want to do. What I want to do is say the Vikings are going to lose because I think they're on the front end of a tough stretch. They've got the Bills, the Cowboys, the Patriots, and the Jets the next four games. But they're getting lucky. They got the Shamrock up their ass, as you say. They're facing another team that I believe won't have its starting quarterback. So I think they pull it off and get to 8-1 somehow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested in this game. I mean, here's the thing. Like, do we think the Vikings are going to be able to run the ball, you know, on the Bills like we've seen the Jets last week and the, you know, the Packers at the end of that game before that, you know, what's your thoughts there? You think they're going to be able to pull that off and run the ball down this Bills defense?
Well, I mean, the Vikings have been balanced this year. And there was something, you know, Dalvin Cook, if he stays healthy, he's what I saw from him late in that game, there was a level of determination. He made a great catch to help tie
great
the game
catch
up. You know, after that interception, he grabs his helmet. I mean, he's got, you know, he's got an extra burst. I mean, you know, he's in year, what, 5 now?
Right.
He's getting closer to the end than the beginning. 5 or 6?
I think it's
17,
6.
18, 19, 20, 21, yeah. 22. It's year 6.
Yeah.
Year 6. The fingers always come in handy in moments like this. But, you know, how much does he have left? Now his younger brother's in the league. You know, I think he realizes all the things he wants to accomplish, there aren't many chances left. And he's really got an extra level. And Alexander Mattison, when he gets chances, he gets it done. And you see Justin Jefferson getting the ball in his hands. And TJ Hockenson has made a difference in the run game and the pass game. You get him blocking some, you get him catching passes, 9 targets, 9 catches when he had 4 days to get ready. This is a team that I think understands they have an opportunity to go for it. And the defense has gotten better on the fly. And, you know, Chris, with all those injuries on the back end for the Bills defense, you got Justin Jefferson, you got Adam Thielen, and you got TJ Hockenson. I just, you know, again, I don't think it's going to be, you know, a 35-point explosion by the Vikings, but I think they can hold their own and score enough points. And without Josh Allen, you're not going to need to score as many points.
Yeah, I know. And I'm going to take the Bills to win no matter what. I am. Now, I'm going to play a little bit of the desperation thing here. You know, not playing well last week, the way their defense was, you know, run on late in the football game, that they're going to kind of buck up and do something here. And then, you know, I do worry about, you know, kind of what you brought up. If the Vikings do have some success running the ball, the Bills are in big trouble, because then it is going to be the play action, Justin Jefferson and Thielen and Hockenson, and it'll be too much for them to stop. And we've seen that formula hurt Buffalo before in years past. You know, that's why they got killed by the Colts last year. And the year before that, barely beat them in the playoffs, because there was a little like, whoa, we can't stop their power run game, and now it opens up all this other stuff. And I do, but I'm going to still go with what I've thought all year, that this is a different Bills football team. You know, and that, yeah. You know, the one thing I didn't check is Matt Milano's status to the football game. Is he going to be back? Is he still out? Do we know that for sure?
Don't know.
You know, that'll make a difference, especially, you know, going sideline to sideline on Dalvin Cook and all that. Yeah, so he was at practice. I don't know. There's a part of me in my heart of hearts that thinks Josh Allen will play. If I had to say Josh Allen's going to play, I'm going to go like Bills 28, Vikings 20. If he doesn't play, I'm going to go, I would like to go like Bills 20 to 17, something like that. That's kind of like how I look at it.
You got to pick one.
I know.
You
got to pick one. I know. So I'm going to take them to cover the spread no matter what. I'm just going to go 24-20 here at Bills. And I think they're going to win. Even if Josh Allen's not there, I think Case Keenum will execute the passing offense enough, and the defense will keep them in it till they'll get it done.
Lions-Bears get together at Soldier Field a week after a barn burner between Miami and Chicago. The Bears are three-point favorites with an over-under of 48.5. I really loved the over last week. I was worried about the win, though, so I didn't make it a best bet. In hindsight, I wish I had. They scored 67 points.
Right.
Who do you like in this one? Again, Bears are three-point favorites, if I haven't said that already.
I could see this, you know, being a shootout. I really could. I mean, I think we're going to see I'm going to go 31-24 Bears here in this one. All right? I'm not going to make this a best bet. It's scary because the Lions are going to be able to run the ball all over the Chicago Bears, too. The Bears, they're strugglesville on defense right now, let alone we know the Lions are good enough in the passing game to where you just can't disregard it. And then the other thing, or one of the coolest stories in football, is just the emergence of this quarterback design run by the Chicago Bears and what it's done for Justin Fields and their offense. It's changed them. I mean, the first 4, 5, 6 weeks of the year, we were literally like, I don't know, can Chicago get to 17 today? Can they get to 20? And then they score, what, 33 against New England? And then 29 against the Cowboys? And then 32 last week against the Dolphins? I just have a hard time thinking they're not going to move the ball up and down the field on Detroit. You know, and then with the fact of it being in Chicago, I'm going to go with the Bears here to win the football game 31-24.
And, you know, the Bears are very much alive for the last spot in the NFC field. I think the Cowboys and the Giants will get two of the wild card berths, but that last one is up for grabs. I'm looking at the forecast for Sunday. High of 37. The wind is going to be the key, because the wind is going to be manageable this week. It looks like it's going to be under 10 miles per hour, so that's not an issue. I got 28-24. High-scoring game, and I'm thinking about Lions-Bears over as a best bet. We'll see. I didn't have the guts to do it last week. We'll see if I have the guts to do it this week. Jaguars-Chiefs in Kansas City. Chiefs not impressive against the Titans, but they got it done. Patrick Mahomes threw 68 passes, too short of the attempts record for a single game. 43 completions, too short of the completion record for a single game. They are 9.5-point favorites, 50.5 over-under. That's the highest of the week. Jaguars, Chiefs, who do you like?
I mean, of course I like the Chiefs. I do. But the Jags, I think, pose some problems here for the Chiefs. They can do a little bit of everything on the defensive side of the ball. Like Tennessee, there's a little bit of that, you know, game plan specific defense going in. You know, I look at the Jaguars too. I think one of the good things for them will be the fact that they're going to see the Kansas City offense and what they did to Tampa Bay, And again, this is the Tampa Bay defensive scheme to where they're going to go, oh, wait, they did this and this, and they'll be able to make some adjustments, let alone, Mike, like we talk about with, you know, Mahomes or Allen or any of these great quarterbacks. I do think they have a front four like Tennessee last week where they don't have to blitz much. They can sit back and play that style of football and manage some of what Mahomes and Kelsey can do to them. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, the Jaguars, they can kind of do it all. The only thing that they miss in their game is explosive plays in the pass game. And we saw a little bit of that last week. But they can run the ball. There's balance here with them. I think they're going to pose problems. I think they're going to hang around in this one. I'm going to go Chiefs 27-23, but I don't think it'll be easy.
Taking the Jaguars to cover. Look, I think the Chiefs are better than what we saw on Sunday night. The Titans are better than the Jaguars. And for the Jaguars, they've been inconsistent this year. And every time they make you think they're good, then they shit the bed. And I feel like they got to win. And, you know, that carries you for a couple of weeks. And I think the Chiefs are going to want to come out and show that they can be one of the best teams in the conference. They can be the one seed. They can't screw around with teams like the Titans. They have to come out and deliver the knockout punch. I think it's going to be 35-17. I think we're going to see the Chiefs firing on all cylinders against the Jaguars. This is just going to be one of those games where the Chiefs really do strengthen their position. And, hey, if I'm right about the Chiefs and the Bills losing, the Chiefs will be the one seed by the time we get to the end of the day on Sunday. They will have overcome the one-game deficit and overcome the tiebreaker the Bills hold by virtue of beating the Chiefs. So and this is a pasta and meatballs game for me. I like the Chiefs to roll 35-17. All right, Browns at the Dolphins. Dolphins have won three in a row since Tua came back. They won their first three with Tua. Favored by 3.5, Miami is over Cleveland, which is coming off of its bye week, over under a 48.5. Chris, who do you like?
Well, it's an interesting matchup. I mean, obviously, Miami's a better football team as a whole. But as we discuss all the time, you know, it's a matchup league. It is. And where I look at it to be, like, there's two things here where I think Cleveland can kind of keep things close or in their favor, and maybe if they get a lucky, you know, bounce of the ball or whatever, that they could maybe pull off an upset. But one, I don't think, you know, again, Miami is not a great run-stopping defense. They're not. I think Cleveland's going to be able to run the ball on them. And, of course, they give you some opportunities to make some plays in the pass game because of how aggressive they are to where, I mean, Amari Cooper's going to get some one-on-one looks on an island with Xavier Howard and one of the other corners. So that's one area I look at to go, okay, you know, I'm not going to say it's an advantage Browns, but certainly something good for them. And then the other aspect I think that's, you know, helps them out here, because I'm going to pick the Dolphins to win the game. But Joe Woods, he's been with Mike McDaniel. He's been with Shanahan there. He knows some of the rules of this offense, let alone you've heard me say all year with Cleveland, my biggest problem with them is big people. They're a small defense, but they're fast. They're fast as hell. And that's where I could see them maybe corralling Miami a little bit here. I'm going Miami to win the game, like I said, but 24-21. I think Cleveland kind of hangs around in this one, and this is maybe their last-ditch effort to kind of try to save their season.
I still think that the Browns are going to be alive after this one, win or lose. They've had 2 weeks to get ready, one day short of that, because we saw them on Monday night thumping the Cincinnati Bengals. They're getting closer to the point at which Deshaun Watson is able to play for them. They have three more games, including this one, before he's back. I just think the Dolphins are finding their groove. And yes, they barely beat the Bears, and there was a non-call late in the game of pass interference that could have changed everything, and the Dolphins could have lost that game. But they're developing confidence, and as long as Tua stays healthy, he's distributing the football to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. The run game gets a boost with Jeff Wilson Jr., who had more touches than Raheem Mostert last week and could be de facto the number one guy before too long. They got a lot of weapons. And I don't know what the temperature is going to be in Miami, but it's a lot hotter than Cleveland. That's another thing that we need to take seriously, even though it's November.
Yeah.
You get one sideline baking in the sun, and if they have the Browns wear those dark brown jerseys, that could be a factor as well. Coming from Cleveland down to Miami, those are just another another area, 82, which means it'll be 125 on the field. That's kind of how it usually goes in those games when you get out the big thermometer. But I just like the Dolphins in this one, 31-24. You know, the Browns have been too inconsistent. And every time we see that good game, it doesn't last. Their formula is run the ball and then open up the passing game to Amari Cooper. You get good defense with Myles Garrett. I just think the Dolphins throw that all into disarray. I think the Dolphins build a lead, and then you got the Browns playing from behind, and that formula doesn't work. I like the Dolphins to win this one and cover 31-24. Texans at the Giants. Chris, you've picked the Texans to lose every week this season. They have obliged in most weeks. Giants had 2 weeks to get ready for it. The Giants are 5-point favorites with a low over-under of 41. Do your Giants avoid a trap against the lowly Texans?
I think so. I mean, I'm picking them to win here. I am that. That's for sure. You know, I do think the Texans could be, you know, somewhat of a pain in the butt here for the Giants for one reason, a little bit like we saw last week, and the fact that their running game is real, and the Giants are not that good at, you know, stopping the run. It's an issue for them. So that's where I could see Damian Pierce and Davis Mills, efficient completions, few long drives, one for a touchdown, maybe two other long ones for field goals, stuff like that. And the game's not that long with the way they play, let alone I think the Giants' approach is going to be very similar. The Giants are going to be able to run the ball on the Houston Texans. I mean, the Houston Texans' run defense stinks. If I remember correctly, and I think I do, it's the worst run defense in football. So That to me does not bode well against the Giants, where we know with Saquon and Daniel Jones, that's an issue for sure. I'm going to go with the Giants here, but like I don't think this is going to be just like a blowout or anything. I think they're going to Houston will hang around. I mean, that's for sure. And I'm going to go 23-16 Giants here in this one.
So you still got the Giants to cover.
I do.
I mean, I got 24-14. We're not all that different. I mean, that was a hell of a windup to get to the same place.
Well, I feel like it's going to be like
you were going to pick the Texans to cover.
No, I wasn't. I was like, well, I was on the verge of like 20-16, 23-16. Those were the kind of game I kind of look at it to be. I wouldn't be shocked if it's 16-16 with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter and the Giants got to go down and score a touchdown. So that's where I was kind of hemming and hawing about, you know, where it could be there. But, yeah, I got the Giants covering.
Hemming and hawing. I think we've done that
before. We have
too.
Before.
We've been working
right
together long enough that we've looped back around.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Do you think I corrected myself?
Saints, Saints and Steelers. The Saints looked not good on Monday night against the Ravens. They now go to Pittsburgh, where the Saints are 1.5-point road favorites against a Pittsburgh team that's had 2 weeks to get ready. That is not as bad as 2-6 would suggest. They've been competitive. They beat the Bengals in Cincinnati, beat the Buccaneers earlier this year. They had, you know, a couple of blowouts that did not look good, especially in Buffalo. But I'm not ready to give up on the Steelers this season. I'm going to go first on this one.
Good.
The over-under's 40.5.
Good.
I like the Steelers to win this one outright. I do. They've lit a fire or used the red-hot poker on Najee Harris. They're going to use Jalen Warren more. Warren runs between the tackles and just hits the hole and doesn't dance. They've become disillusioned with Najee delaying the moment of,
this is funny,
of getting to the point where the ball needs to, you know, to go. And Chase Claypool was a distraction, I've heard and I'm told, and addition by subtraction and moving on from him, plus the 2 weeks to get ready. You've got everyone on alert, full urgency. They've got to get this win. They've got to win. 2-7 versus 3-6, a gigantic difference if you want to have any hope. And the Steelers will never, ever, ever consider treating the rest of the season like evaluation or no. It's always win, 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 win. And they're getting the Saints on a short week for them. Think about that. This is a great litmus test of some of the competitive disadvantages that get baked into the schedule. 14 days for the Steelers, 6 days for the Saints. Saints go on the road with that. It's not really fair to the Saints. And I think they're stepping into a trap here. I think the Steelers win. The score I have is 20-17.
All right. That's good for you. I'm going Saints here. I'm going to go with this. I just don't think it's a good matchup for the Steelers here.
What did you see on Monday night that makes you think the Saints can do anything against Pittsburgh? Well, especially if TJ Watt's back.
Well, I get that, but I mean, what have you seen all year to make you think Steelers can stop anybody on defense? I mean, it's one of the worst defenses in football. So that's where I'm going to go.
TJ Watt supposedly coming back.
I know, but he can't stop everything. And you know, their run defense is okay. I think statistically it's better than what it really is because they didn't play some good running teams. And I think teams look at Pittsburgh and they go, we're gonna throw the ball on them. Like the hell with running on them. It's so easy to throw it on them. Why would we do that? I don't think this is a good matchup for Pittsburgh. I don't. And, you know, yeah, the Saints didn't play a very good game last week again, but, you know, they played a team that's a better version of what they do, and it just wasn't the right matchup for them there. I just look at Pittsburgh, and I think it's interesting about the Najee Harris thing. It really is. It was the thing that bothered me coming out of college, and people just absolutely eviscerated me when I was like, yeah, but he never goes anywhere. It's always like this and this and 4 yards and this and this and 4 yards. Now, I want to push back and go, there's no holes there, but it's just funny that, and I don't think they're going to have a lot of success against this defense. I don't think this is the formula to beat New Orleans. Oh, a team that can't run the ball, and now we have to throw it every play. And Dennis Allen's pretty creative with those coverages. You saw the other night, it wasn't very easy for Baltimore to score anything. I mean, the first two touchdowns were just Lamar making shit happen and some cool design plays that you can only do with a Lamar. So that's where I'm going to go with it, Mike. And trust me, I'm scared because of the things you say. Steelers always scare me that way. But I'm going 24-20 Saints.
And the thing about Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, as simple as this, they're behind the same offensive line. Harris is averaging 3.3 yards per attempt. Warren is averaging 5.3.
You said it right.
A lot more.
Yeah.
We're going to see a lot more of Jaylen Warren starting this week. Last game in the 1 o'clock window on Sunday, Broncos at the Titans. Tennessee only favored by 2.5 against a Broncos team that's had extra time to get ready, but their offense has been subject to criticism for good reason so far this year. The over-under 36.5. It is the lowest over-under of the entire season, 36.5. Chris, do the Titans get back on the right track knowing they've got a short week trip to Green Bay coming?
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, I mean, I'm expecting low scoring here for sure. Now, I don't know what to expect with Ryan Tannehill. I don't think he did anything again yesterday, or it was very limited, right? If I remember right, yeah. So, again, I don't know. It's not about the Titans and their offense necessarily. It's about great defense, chewing the clock, and running the ball. And, you know, Denver, I don't know. There's something about their culture, the way Russell Wilson's playing, everything about it that I'm not going to buy into. So I don't care if it's Malik Willis or not. The only thing I want to see from Tennessee Titans a little differently compared to last week is I think they need a few more quarterback design runs to go along with Malik Willis. I don't think there was enough last week. And that would have helped them have some more answers. But I just think the Titans defense has got it going. And I can't picture the Broncos doing a whole lot. I'm going to go Titans 19-16, and that might be too many points.
24-14 Tennessee Titans. Derrick Henry keeps doing Derrick Henry things. And we're going to be reminded of why Nathaniel Hackett was potentially going to be fired if he had lost to the Jaguars. That offense, even with the 2 weeks, and they got a chance to fix some of their things. Look, we talked about it earlier. Some of the stubbornness from Russell Wilson in Seattle is now rearing its ugly head in Denver, where there's no one to push back against whatever it is that he wants to do or doesn't want to do, like not wear a wristband. I just think that the Titans, who want to continue to stake their claim to being one of the best teams in the conference, they've got to win this one at home.
Right.
You've got to win this one at home
at
if you
home.
Have any hope whatsoever.
That's right. At home.
Let's take a break.
Okay, sorry. I was going to say, at home, they got a great run defense, so the Broncos aren't going to be able to rely on that. And then the Titans' pass defense the last few weeks has been arguably the best in football, so I don't think this is the week Russell Wilson gets back on track.
The Week 10 late afternoon games when PFTPM and Chris Sims Unbuttoned continues right after this.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal.
it probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Chris Sims Unbuttoned, PFTPM, Joint Megapix Podcast, Week 10. The late afternoon games begin with the story of the week. The Indianapolis Colts going to Las Vegas to take on the Raiders, where Josh McDaniels, in his second head coaching stint, is not doing well. McDaniels, a guy who left the Colts at the altar, opening the door for Frank Reich. Frank Reich was kicked out that door this week. Jeff Saturday is now the head coach of the Colts. Somehow, some way, he's in charge. The Raiders are 6-point favorites in this one with an over-under of 42.5. Chris, can the Colts this has been the ultimate distraction team turned upside down. Can they make chicken salad out of this chicken shit week?
No, I don't think they can. I mean, can they be competitive in this football game? I do think that. You know, I think a lot of the Colts defense, I do. I mean, look what they did last week. It was a damn good showing against the Patriots. I think the Patriots were probably a little conservative on that side of the ball, knowing the Colts were never going to move the football. But I think they're going to give the Raiders and that offense issues. The Raiders, it's lack of big plays or lack of tricks or lack of explosive pass plays as the game goes on. It's like early on, once McDaniels runs out of a few tricks, they don't have enough there or enough of a deep threat to take the top off the defense that way. And on the Colts, their front's good. They're good at limiting big plays. So I see that. Now, the Raiders' defense is not good, but the Colts' offense is horrible. And it's been really horrible with Sam Ehlinger. So, I mean, I'm going to go with the Raiders here, but it's an ugly one. You know, I was like 20-9. I ultimately going to go 20-12 Raiders. I was 20-9. I gave the Colts one extra field goal where they just were able to maybe run the ball and make a few plays in the pass game to get down and get one extra field goal. But that's as far as I see this one going.
24-13 is my score. If the Raiders blow this one, oh, my God, it's the low point for that franchise since moving to Las Vegas. And look, I don't know if Josh McDaniels gets a second year. I can't imagine him being fired during his first season by the guy who hired him. But Mark Davis has to be having regrets now about not giving Rich Bisaccia a chance, because it has not worked so far. And it's on McDaniels to turn it around quickly. And this is a golden opportunity. The first crack at the Jeff Saturday Colts to cap the week in which all this craziness happened. If you can't beat the Colts now, you'll never beat the Colts. So 24-13 Raiders. Game of the late afternoon. Cowboys at the Packers. Even though the Packers aren't very good, it's still the Cowboys and the Packers. It's the Ice Bowl reunion. They've had some great games over the years. And it's Mike McCarthy, the fired former Packers coach who took them to their only Super Bowl since 1996. He's back in town. They got a street named after him. He's back in town as coach of the Cowboys. Cowboys coming off of a bye. They're 6-2. They're 5-point favorites, over under of 43. Chris, do the Cowboys go into Lambeau Field and extend that losing streak of the Packers to 6?
I think so. I do. Now, do I think the Packers will keep it close? I do. I do that, too. I think the Packers' defense is going to be able to manage Dak Prescott in the run game a little bit. I do. I have too much respect for them on that side of the ball. It is a really good defense. So I can see them, you know, giving them some issues. On the other side of the ball, you know, I don't think Dallas is going to get a chance to create any turnovers, especially a week after Aaron Rodgers threw 3 interceptions. He's going to be extra careful with the ball this week. And if there's one little issue with Dallas that we've seen is you can run on them a little bit with some of their speed up front, and they do some crazy stuff, and they kind of can get caught out of position a little bit. So I think this is a game where I kind of look at it and go, we're going to watch the game and go, clearly Dallas is better, but the style and kind of the efficiency in which Green Bay plays with, I think will allow them to hang around and make the game look a little closer than it actually is. But I'm going to go Cowboys 23-17. Am I
seeing? So you got them covering by 1 point.
Yes.
5-point favorite. Okay. I'll wait. I've got the no.
Jay, your fan's off the checker. No. I saw Green Bay 31-17. You're going with Rodgers. I knew you were a fanboy.
It's right here.
I'm joking. Cowboys, I know you're 31, not that stupid.
Cowboys 31, Packers 17. I think that the game last week broke the Packers.
It could.
And I don't know that they can fix it this soon. And you know, I put a lot of stock in what guys say when they're in that moment or not far removed from it. And when Aaron Rodgers was asked the question on Sunday about, you know, you've continued to express hope, but how do you still have any hope of turning it around after losing to this team, the Lions? And he paused for 13 seconds, put his head down, gathering his thoughts, and he recited some of the same old bullcrap cliches. Guys got to dig deep. We're going to be counted out. I think he's a guy who has tried everything in his power to will this team to be better than it is, and it hasn't worked. And he knows it hasn't worked. And maybe, you know, I'm talking myself out of it now because he seemed very loose and relaxed on Wednesday. Maybe he's worked his way through anger, denial, bargaining, depression, and acceptance, and he just realized, hey, you know what? It's a shit year, and here we are. But I still don't think it's going to be enough to win this game. And I think the Cowboys will relish this. I think they want everyone to understand that they're good. I think they're trying to attract OBJ.
Yeah.
Let's go out and kick some ass and make OBJ pick us. Hey, OBJ, you want to win a Super Bowl? Hey, look at us. Look what we did to Green Bay. 31-17. You better join us and not the Buffalo Bills. That's knocking around in this mindset here. But I think McCarthy's desire to go back up there and shove it up Green Bay's ass. What was that chant? Shove the effing cheese up your ass, the Giants fans in London. McCarthy's going to want to do it to the Packers at 31-17. And hey, you know what? If you're feeling counted out, Packers, it's your own damn fault for losing five in a row, culminating in a loss to the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, no, and listen, they got issues. And this is, you know, again, this offense and how they play, I can't see them, you know, scoring a whole lot of points. It's going to be hard. It's going to be rely on the run game. It's going to be little short passes. And, yeah, Dallas is in a different class, in my opinion, than Green Bay. They're going to win this one.
All right. The final game in the late afternoon window, the Cardinals at the Rams. The Rams are only favored by 1.5 with an over-under of 41.5. Matthew Stafford in the concussion protocol. Kyler Murray didn't practice on Wednesday with a hamstring. That's kind of a red flag. The Rams have already beaten the Cardinals in Arizona, and the Rams have gotten beyond the point of desperate. If the Rams don't win this one, they are done. They're already done. They're done if they lose this one to the Arizona Cardinals. I'll go first since I'm already talking about it.
Good.
I think the Rams win 26-20, whether it's Matthew Stafford or John Wolford, whether it's Kyler Murray or Colt McCoy. I think the Rams know how to defend Kyler Murray. I think the Cardinals are in the process of falling apart. They already have fallen apart. The Rams are close to joining them. I just can't imagine the Rams blowing this one. They're returning to the site of that playoff game where the Rams completely dismantled the Cardinals last year. I think the Rams, this is a gotta have it. Or what did you say earlier this week? A got a moment, have it.
Got a moment,
gotta
have it.
Moment.
Got a moment.
Moment, have it.
You better have it.
This is a got a moment, have it for the Rams, 26-20.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I just, again, I think both teams are, defenses are the star of the show. Offenses are less than, you know, they're underwhelming as being nice. I mean, the freaking Rams are the 31st offense in football. Who would have ever thought that going into the year, right? But, you know, even after all that, I think you said it right. The Rams defense, they have the formula. They know how to stop Kyler Murray and this Cliff Kingsbury offense. They do. And I'm just going to go with the – and these type of games, just like last week, the Rams, we could say all they want. They are gritty. They got a grittiness about them. Like, they were comfortable in, the 16-13 game last week. We're being outplayed by the Bucs, and we've really only made two or three plays on the offensive side of the ball, but here we are. You got to drive down the field to beat us at the end of the football game. You know, they're used to that style. I'm going to go with them here. I mean, I am. I think their offense will just gut it out somehow, some way. And, yeah, they know how to stop that offense. So I'm going Rams 19-17 here.
So you also are picking the Rams to cover because the spread is so narrow.
Yeah.
Again, it's just 1.5.
Right.
That's odd to me that it's 1.5. That's best bet material as well. I mean, if you think the Rams are going to win, well, they're going to only win by 1 point. You get that cover pretty quickly. All right, let's take a break. The primetime games, including Jimmy Garoppolo spotting Justin Herbert, 7 points. Are you kidding me? 49ers, Chargers, plus Commanders, Eagles. We'll talk about those next here on Chris Sims Unbuttoned and PFTPM.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
PFTPM, Chris Sims Unbuttoned, Week 10 Joint Mega Picks Podcast. We have come to the primetime Sunday, Monday night portion of the program, and let's focus on Sunday Night Football. Chargers and the 49ers. 49ers coming off of their bye week. They are 7-point favorites against the LA Chargers, who have kind of been all over the place, up and down, trying to lose games and end up winning them, trying to win and end up losing. But they are kind of starting to come into their own in the AFC. They're right in the thick of the wild card chase. The 49ers have a worse record at 4-4, but boy, they got that vibe of a team that can take it all the way if they can keep their key players healthy. Do you like the 49ers to win? Do you like them to cover on Sunday night?
I definitely like them to win. There's no doubt. And I definitely like them to cover. This is definitely in the running for best bet material for me here. I'm interested to see what the Chargers can do to stop the 49ers and their offense. I am. You know, that's the big thing there. The Chargers, as we've discussed, like almost every week, it's horrible run defense, right? And now you got to deal with the team that's, what, healthy and had some extra time to play around with the Debo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey formula and play with that way, let alone physically you have an issue there and a mismatch and that you don't have enough big people and your team is a little bit speed oriented there. I don't have much faith in the Chargers defense to stop the 49ers. That's the big problem. And honestly, on the other side of the ball, I don't have a ton of faith either for their offense. 49ers defense has been number one in football, and they've been missing, like, what, three out of the five best players in their defense like for the majority of the year? It's really remarkable. It really is. The number one defense in football has been missing some of their best players for the majority of the year, and they're going to be back. And that means you're fucked, San Diego, Los Angeles, wherever the fuck you are now. Okay?
At the drive-thru.
Yeah, they're at the drive-thru. You're screwed. Yeah, I'm going 49ers here. I don't think this is a good matchup. And if Justin Herbert thinks, if they think they're going to just dink and dunk and throw their five-yard passes down the field against this group, I don't see that happening. I don't. I'm going 49ers 31-20.
I've got the 49ers 34-21. McCaffrey is there. Debo is healthy. Kyle Shanahan, the kid in the candy store with all these weapons that he can unleash and create havoc against the Chargers defense. And I just, the Chargers, you know, it's always something. And I feel like the 49ers need this one. Everyone's going to be watching to reinforce the notion that they truly are a team to be reckoned with in the NFC. They're trying to chase down the Seahawks. They're trying to get that wild card berth that's going to be up for grabs. I mean, hey, the 49ers may not get in. They got to get in. That's the thing. On paper, if they're healthy, they're dangerous.
I know.
They got to stay healthy.
Right.
And they're in danger of not making the playoffs at all if they don't catch the Seahawks, because then they're in that scrum for the wild card berth. But as things shake out, I mean, who's it going to be if it's not them? But they just got to start. They can't afford to fall to 4-5.
No.
This is a must win.
They lose a tiebreaker to Atlanta, I mean, right now because of that game. So, yeah, you're right. It's a big game for them. It really is. They don't have much wiggle room because of the way they started. So they better be about their business here.
I think they'll take care of business in an impressive way, 34-21. Let's move to Monday night. The Eagles, 8-0, trying to go to 9-0. The Commanders trying to hold it together after a game they should have won. They should be 5-4. They're up 10 points in the fourth quarter.
Damn, I know that.
Should have beaten the Vikings.
Damn.
They go to Philly. 11-point underdogs are the Commanders. Do the Eagles win? Do they cover? You picked them to cover against the Texans last Thursday night as a best bet, and it did not work out for you.
No, I lost my little half
Do they cover on Monday night against the Commanders?
Well, I'm going to say they don't. I'm going to go with the Commanders here. The Commanders, I feel like, had a lot of the right answers the first time they played Philadelphia. They did. You know, now they might have been a hair too aggressive, and I remember us talking about this maybe a few weeks after that matchup. Hair too aggressive to where the game was really Jalen Hurts got to throw some one-on-one jump balls to his receivers, and they made plays. But they did a pretty good job of slowing down the rushing attack of the Philadelphia Eagles and that. And, you know, Washington's offense, it's not great. We know that. But it's been a little bit better in the run game. They do have some weapons in the pass game. You know, I think this is a game they kind of hang around in. I certainly don't look at them as the same class as the Philadelphia Eagles, but Washington's defense is good enough to kind of hang in there against anybody. Like you said last week, I mean, it was the first drive of the game for Minnesota, and then we didn't hear from the offense again until, 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, right, Mike? So they're capable of doing that type of, you know, or that type of quality of play. I'm going to go Eagles 24-16 in this one.
You know, And maybe it's because the Eagles look so good on Monday night at home when they played the Vikings in week two.
Yeah.
I feel like the Commanders, with all the crap that's going on, and as we're taping this, we don't know what the major announcement's going to be from D.C. Attorney General Carl Racine. That may create more distractions. Players have said, how can this not distract you? And then this goofy statement that pulled Brian Robinson into the fight with the D.C. Attorney General. I just think it's too much. And I think this is one of those nights where no matter how prepared you are, no matter how determined you are, no matter how focused you are, the Eagles are just going to be ready to kick your asses. 35-10. I rarely pick blowouts, but I think this one is going to be at halftime, what are we going to watch in the second half? That this one's going to be over. This one's going to be done. Because the Eagles, this is the latest team to get that 11 days. From Thursday to the following Monday.
Right.
Not that they need it against the Commanders, but I think it's going to be just part of this idea as they build momentum. They're getting closer and closer to 17-0. Where are the losses? They got to play the Giants twice. They got to play the Cowboys again. But for now, I see them continuing to check them off. Let's take a break. Best bets and our Folsom Prison Blues picks when PFDPM and Chris Sims Unbutton wraps up right after this.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Chris Sims Unbuttoned, PFTPM, Joint Megapicks Podcast, Week 10, wrapping up with our best bets. We each pick three against the spread or an over-under. Chris, what do you got?
Well, I'm taking the 49ers. That's the first one. That's the one I feel best about. I really feel like the only way the Chargers keep that close or even maybe have a threat to win the game is Herbert will have to play like one of the games of his life. He's going to have to be extremely efficient, and they're going to have to be explosive in the pass game, which they haven't shown to be. So I'm going the 49ers there.
That's gutsy. That's 7 points that the 49ers give the Chargers.
I know.
A garbage time touchdown wipes you out that occurs. I'm going to go Titans giving 2.5 to the Broncos. The freaking Broncos. I'm sorry, but the Broncos offense is ass. It's just not good. And the Titans keep getting disrespected with these point spreads. 12.5 last week, underdogs in Kansas City. What the hell was that all about? Who is it? Do people just not bet on the Titans because they're boring? Titans giving 2.5 to me is a lock. If I had to pick one bet that I was going to make this week against the spread, it's Titans giving 2.5. All right, what else you got?
Yeah, I hear you all the way. And if Ryan Tannehill was playing, I hear you all the way too. That Broncos defense is damn good, though. We can't forget that.
No, they traded Bradley Chubb, and you got to rebuild that trust when you take away your defensive captain.
Right, right. All right, So just so everybody knows, you said it. 7 points, the 49ers were favored. I had them winning by 11. The next one I'm going to is the other big spread of the day, but I'm going the other way. I'm taking the Jaguars. I am. I think the Jaguars match up very nicely with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs favored by 9.5 points. I just think it's too much. I think this is a game where Jaguars will be able to move the ball on them, and I think their defense will be able to at least slow down the Mahomes and company all slot. I think they got the guys there. So I think this is like a field goal win, 4-point win for the Chiefs. I'm going Jaguars as my second best bet.
You picked the Jaguars so much. I'm starting to think that you're hoping if Shad Khan fires Doug Peterson, he calls you
hire me.
Head coach.
Hire me, and I'm bringing you down there with Jackson DeVille so you can guys can change out the litter all the time and all that stuff that you do. copy, paste.
Yeah, no thanks. Giants giving 5 to the Texans. Something's wrong with this picture. And, you know, sometimes – I'm right. You know, a lot of times I feel like I'm walking into a trap, but I don't think this is a trap. I think the Giants are going to handle them. Even the way you hemmed and hawed, or hemmed and hawed as the case may be, you still pick the Giants to win by 7. You were coming up with every argument you could for the Texans to potentially beat the Giants, and you still settled on Giants by 7.
Yeah, I did.
I think the Giants win. I think they cover the spread. Dameon Pierce, by the way, was limited yesterday in practice. If he's banged up, the Texans got nothing, Chris.
No, I hear you there. And, you know, you've given me some incentive there a little bit for the Texans to keep it close. All right, my last one, I'm going to one that I think you're totally the opposite of me. But screw you, okay, Florio? Screw you. I'm going with the Commanders. 11 points, too much for me. It's just too much. I think their D is real. I think they know how to stop it and slow down the Eagles' offense. And I got trust in Heineke just to make enough plays to keep them close. I'm going Commanders, covering that 11-point spread.
Go Commanders, don't go Commando, please. I'm taking the Bears, giving the Lions 3. It was between that or the Steelers getting 1.5. But I think the Bears can cover 3-point spread against the Lions. The Lions got their win for the month. They don't care. All right, Folsom Prison Blues, Eagles to win no matter what. Who's yours?
I'll go Colts. I mean, the Raiders beat the Colts. Raiders beat the Colts. See ya.
All right,
bye.
We're done. Bye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.